Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go. Wherever you are traveling, wherever you're situated, know that we're really grateful to have you tuning in with us. We're going to be looking at the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew this morning, the end of that chapter, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, kind of right in the heart of that sermon, where Jesus addresses issues of worry and anxiety, which are so prevalent in our world today, and to know that they were part of Jesus' life and experience and what he saw in those that gathered around him lets us know that this is not a new issue, the plaguing of anxiety and worry in our lives. Mariana Kilbride will be offering a message that really is wonderful and I think helps us to reflect on what worry-free kingdom living might look like and feel like. But before we do that, I invite you to listen to Jenny Dalba and Aram Chobanian as they sing together, You Are My Hiding Place.
Our scripture this morning is Matthew 6, 24 through 33. It's a section entitled, Do Not Worry. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I've used the word mammon here instead of the wealth that's in our NRSV Pew Bibles because it means more than money. It's an Aramaic word and means money, yes, but also any property or material goods. Back to the scripture. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It was Good Friday, and I was good and worried. I had just moved from the warm and sunny South to New York City, where we were reported to be having a nor'easter. A nor'easter. I gathered this did not mean simply Easter in the North, but instead some kind of ungodly storm combining bitter cold and buckets of snow. Yes, I was very worried. Not, mind you, about whether I would be able to get to Park Avenue Methodist to worship, and nor about whether worship might have to be canceled in a day with no virtual option available. I was far less worried about the dangers or problems it might cause anyone else. No, I was worried about what in the world one would wear to church in such a dreadful circumstance. With regard to Sunday attire in the South, Easter was the peacock of the Christian calendar. White gloves and bonnets for the girls, seersucker on a late calendar Easter for boys and men, and for women, a dazzling array of pastel linen and silk, patent leather shoes, and for the truly daring, an adult bonnet, perhaps with a veil. How to make a statement in a snowstorm befitting bean boots and down? I did, of course, what any sensible girl would do. I called my mother. Mother never let me down in this sort of emergency. In case you're wondering, she suggested a very long black and white plaid circle skirt with a fitted black wool jacket and a fur hat. It was stunning. I felt like an Austrian princess dropped in from the Alps. I had managed to pull off a peacock Easter even in this godforsaken climate. I did impress myself. I'm not sure, however, that God was suitably impressed. Is he impressed with our luxury cars and tropical vacations and kitchen renovations and hedge funds? These all fall in the category of what Jesus called mammon. And as we noted earlier, mammon is wealth and material goods, what we store up. In verse 24, Jesus personifies mammon, calling it a master, a god. If you have more than one master, each choice you make bends towards one or the other, and each bend towards one will be disloyal to the other. Jesus says you cannot serve God and material goods. We have to live, though, don't we? It's not practical to let the house fall apart or not to have something put aside for a rainy day. These are worrisome things. And what about how our children will do? Or even altruistic worry about the state of the world, wars, famine, the environment. The people on the hill that Jesus was addressing were, for the most part, not very well off. Yet even knowing the needs of the crowd gathered, Jesus tells them not to worry. Is he saying to just look the other way? Forget about it. Mask your problems with defense mechanisms and get on with it. Anesthetize with your favorite substance and things aren't so bad. Turn off the news and stick that head right down into the sand. It's tempting to live that way. But the ostrich is no more the bird for us than the peacock. Jesus chooses for his illustration the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. They fly, though. Unencumbered by worry, they fly. How do we get there? How do we get from striving for the things that are ultimately not stable? Health, wealth, the state of the world, to an anxiety-free life. Jesus seems to suggest that striving for the kingdom of God is the antidote to worry. So what does that mean? What is the kingdom of God? Jesus tries to help his disciples understand it with parables and stories, with names like the wedding banquet, the prodigal son, and the Good Samaritan. Beginning with the words, the kingdom of God looks like this, Jesus paints a picture so his disciples can visualize the kingdom. This kingdom, he describes, is a place where everyone gets invited to the banquet, where generosity knows no bounds, and everyone has enough to eat, a place where love and forgiveness rule the day. It's an eternal realm, and it is also a realm that he says is at hand. The kingdom of God is now for those who notice and strive for it. Jesus uses the vocations and landscapes and social norms of his day to help them imagine it. We often need a little context to understand Jesus's point. But once in a while, a modern illustration pops up in which we can say, the kingdom of God is like this, and no explanation is necessary. The kingdom of God is like the women's slope-style snowboarding event. Once upon a time in 2022, there were three women's Olympic snowboarders. The American, Julia Marino, held the top position and was set to win gold. The Australian, Tess Cody, was just behind and set for silver. With one run to go, the New Zealand woman, Zoe Sadowski-Sinnott, took off on a history-making run which ended with a 10.80. Okay, maybe this does need explanation. A 10.80 is three full mid-air spins, and it was in the stratosphere. She was indeed flying, a bird of the air if I ever saw one. Her competitors, not caring whether they had been knocked out of their top spots, erupted in joyous screams, and they ran to her with bounding generosity, wrapping their arms around her and falling to the ground in a jubilant scrum, which all the competitors then joined. Gold for one was gold for all. Gold for snowboarding, gold for women's sports, gold for all the hard work and training they had pushed each other to complete in order to reach the highest levels. The snowboarders came from different tribes into competition in this geopolitical space we call China, with all its blessings and challenges, and created a little kingdom bubble. They embraced not only the competition, but their competitors, celebrating not only themselves and their countries, all humans. In an interview, Julia Marino said in part, "If you see her do that, and you're like, I want to do that too. I want to do it better." But it's not in a negative way. It's in a growth way. We just keep pushing each other. We're all such great friends, and yeah, we're competitors, but we want to lift each other up and support one another. And I think that's why we progress so much, especially the ladies, at such a fast rate. I think a lot of it has to do with just being there for each other and being good friends. I think it's a positive environment, and good things come out of that positive environment. Out of the mouths of babes. I think it's fair to say that this relational piece is inherent in all Jesus's teaching, and that the support and love we share goes a long way in alleviating our anxiety. That's what the kingdom is like. When we can embrace one another in all our differences with the ultimate positivity, the love of God, when we can love like God, we will be flying. Flying is the polar opposite of worry. So let's try out our wings. When we stop parading around like a peacock with the material baggage that weighs us down, when we pull our ostrich heads out of the sand and look at the difficult and the beautiful alike with the eyes of faith, when we stop imagining the things that could go wrong, but imagine instead how we can help things go right, we start to get that birds of the air eye view, God's view of the kingdom and all its possibilities. Of course, we have to put in our training hours, reading the Bible, digging into the parables, and discerning what it means in our time on earth to invite everyone to the banquet, to forgive, as Jesus suggests, not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times, to figure out what it means to be a good neighbor. And we have to practice loving each other to better places, cheering each other to the higher good. And then we have to just let go and trust. Trust that the God of all life is the wind in our wings, our lift, and has invited us to live in his realm, to have a role in making that realm a more obvious reality each day. If we can imagine it, we are halfway there. Standing at the top of the mountain, visualizing the run. And then we're off. With the wind at our backs and the words of the wise prophet Isaiah in our ears. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Do not worry. Living in the kingdom is like flying. Just imagine it. just strive for it. We will all be cheering. Holy Lord, help us to live our lives noticing and striving for your kingdom. In your holy name, we hope and pray and fly. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.